Give yourself some love with our self-care programs at hrnradio.com.
To high energy health. I am your host, Dawson Church, and each week on the show, we bring you the latest research, updates, and insights on your own health, happiness, and well-being. And some of those things are truly remarkable, like the power of your mind and your consciousness to heal your body. It's absolutely remarkable what science is now showing us you can do in this regard, far more than we ever realized before. And you can reach ecstatic states of awareness, consciousness, and happiness. And I detail these in my new book, Bliss Brain. The subtitle is The Neuroscience of Remodeling Your Brain for Resilience, Creativity, and Joy. And you can do just that. You can literally remodel your own brain for resilience, creativity, and joy. You can do all kinds of things with your brain that you might not have realized or realized were incredibly powerful. And I invite you to check out the book, check out all of those practices you can use. Meditation is just one of them. What we find is that meditation practiced certain ways produces rapid brain remodeling. Your brain literally is remodeling itself as you use some of these remarkable new techniques, and this brain tells you which ones are the most effective. And thanks to a very generous gift from the publisher, we're able to offer this brain to you for a total cost of zero. We have a batch of books which we're giving away. You just pay shipping and handling at thisbrain.com. And we'll give you access also to meditations which have been shown to be effective in literally changing the structure of your brain. All of that at thisbrain.com. Now, before I bring on today's guest, I'm going to share with you a recent study that shows you the power of the mind to affect the body. And if you're like me, you're probably going to laugh when you hear this story because it is almost beyond belief as to what happened. So this is reported in a journal, a peer-reviewed journal called General Hospital Psychiatry. General Hospital Psychiatry. And it tells the story, it's a case history of a man who showed up at the emergency room of a hospital. They call him Mr. A. He's a 26-year-old male, and he showed up at the emergency desk of a hospital, and he only said these seven words. Help me. I took all my pills. And he collapsed on the floor. As he fell, he dropped an empty prescription bottle. The staff, needless to say, rushed to his aid, picked him up, helped him get off the ground. He was slightly conscious, and he was drowsy and lethargic. And as they pieced his story together, he said he had taken all of his pills in his pill bottle, and it was a new experimental drug for depression. They read the label, but it didn't indicate any kind of medication they knew. It was a unusual medication being taken as part of a clinical trial. So they quickly phoned the doctors in charge of the clinical trial and told them what had happened, and they then rushed to the scene. In the meantime, Mr. A was extremely fearful of dying from his overdose. He'd been in the clinical trial for about 30 days up to that point, and he'd taken one capsule a day as planned. But that day, impulsively, he'd taken all 29 capsules that remained in the bottle. He felt terrible. He had his neighbor rush him to hospital. And so that was his story. He'd had some episodes of depression, but when he'd seen this clinical trial at a local university, he'd signed up for it, and now he was taking this new drug as part of the trial. And he felt that during the previous month, his mood had improved significantly. But then he had a big fight with his girlfriend the night before, off which he took the whole bottle. He was pale. He had a blood pressure that was really low, 80 over 40. That's extremely low blood pressure. His heart was racing at 110 beats per minute. He was trembling with very rapid, shallow breathing. So they put a main line into his veins, and they began to administer saline, and also they took out some blood and rushed to the lab where they gave him a quick workup, but everything was normal. His blood pressure rose a bit, but over the course of 4 hours, he needed continual injections of saline to keep his blood pressure more or less okay. And then after 4 hours, the doctor from the clinical trial arrived. So at that point, his blood pressure was 100 over 62, still very low. He had a heart rate of 106, still very high. And then the doctor arrived from the hospital, from the clinical trial, and examined him and the bottle. And they discovered that Mr. A was in the placebo group. He had taken 29 inert sugar capsules and nothing more. When they told Mr. A that, he was very surprised, tearful, relieved. Within 15 minutes, he was fully alert. His blood pressure had normalized to 126 over 80, and his heart rate was back down to 80 beats per minute. That is the power of the mind over the body. Is that outrageous or what? You take those pills, you think they're having an effect, and they're having a massive effect, whether or not they're inert or not. But that is the power of your belief. So I recommend you use that power. Use your mind fully and fill your mind with the most positive thoughts, the most kind ideas, with gratitude, with altruism, with optimism, all the positive emotions you possibly can, and then you'll see the effects on your body. People who act this way, people who use their minds this way, have much longer lifespans. They're much healthier in advanced old age. So you can literally use your mind and have massive effects on your body, just like Mr. A. Rather than negative ones, you can have positive ones purely by the power of consciousness. You'll find a lot of stories about this in my new book, Bliss Brain, which you can get for free at blissbrain.com. My guest today is Michael Grosso. He got his PhD in philosophy from Columbia University and has taught philosophy and the humanities at New Jersey City University, City University of New York, and elsewhere. He's an independent scholar, and he focuses on consciousness research. Among his books are The Man Who Could Fly, St. Joseph of Cupertino, and The Mystery of Levitation, and Soulmaking. His newest book is called Smile of the Universe, Miracles in an Age of Disbelief. Michael, welcome to the show. Well, Michael seems to be having a little bit of trouble getting on, so I'm going to go ahead and share a little bit about that remarkable man he wrote about, Joseph of Cupertino, because when I read his story in the book, I was absolutely amazed. And Jay, let me know when Michael is able to get on. So Joseph of Cupertino was a medieval monk. He wasn't a very bright monk. He wasn't a very personable monk. He was just a kind of ordinary monk, except for one remarkable thing, and that is that when he would say the Mass and get totally inspired, observers noticed that Saint Joseph of Cupertino would slightly lift off the ground. As people began to observe him and notice his abilities more, he began to attract attention. And people would come from all over the place to watch this monk, as he was saying the Mass, literally before the altar, would begin to lift off the ground. On one occasion, the nuns of nearby San Ligorio saw him deep in prayer, and suddenly he noticed a crucifix across the chapel and floated all the way up to it and reached out and touched the figure on the cross. Beneath him, there were tall vases of fresh flowers and many forests of burning candles. And the nuns were shocked and cried out, "He will catch fire! He will catch fire!" But another one of the monks, Brother Lodovico, who knew him well, told the nuns not to worry because the monk was a frequent flyer and never seemed to get hurt as a result. Now, after a while, this came to the attention of the church authorities. And in the 1600s, coming to the attention of the church authorities as having unusual gifts meant one of two things: possibly being canonized, but quite possibly being burned at the stake. So it wasn't a good thing to have brought yourself to the attention of the authorities. And they actually hauled him before the Inquisition. He was ordered to kiss the feet of the Pope, per Pope Urban VIII, and he became so enraptured after kissing the feet of the Pope, he literally lifted off the ground and hovered around the ceiling for a long time. All kinds of people, hundreds of people, witnessed the flying saint. He was witnessed flying by kings, by ambassadors, by the Pope, by cardinals. And when he was being canonized, the accounts of eyewitnesses who'd seen him fly ran into the hundreds of pages and actually fill 18 volumes at the Vatican Library. So his ability to defy gravity is really well documented. And there are several other historical figures, too, who apparently have been described as being able to fly, including St. Francis of Assisi, apparently was able to levitate, and St. Teresa of Avila. Now, one of the most intriguing things is that if you go on YouTube and type in the words, flying monks, you will see that there are quite a few YouTube videos of monks in Tibet who apparently levitate off the ground. And there's some question about whether these are fakes or whether they are authentic or not. And I've had these discussions with several prominent scientists, and some of them say, no, they're fake, they're just being staged in some way. And others, though, look like home movies. Like, for example, there's one I saw of this young German man and his girlfriend. And they've traveled a long way to see this one Tibetan monk who apparently can levitate. So the young German man is there and talks to the monk, and the monk says, no, I'm not going to levitate just for you to see me. Monk speaks a little bit of broken English, but he clearly is not going to go along with a program being made into a spectacle. But the girlfriend is filming all of this on her phone, and so it's clearly not being edited, it's not being staged. And after the monk talks to the young man for a while, the monk says, okay, well, you know, you guys have come a long way, I'm happy just to pray and see what happens. And so the monk sits there, grabs his prayer beads, starts chanting, Om Mani Padme Hum. And you watch this monk, after a while, lift off the ground. And is really excited. He's saying to his girlfriend, hey, look what's going on here. I can't believe this. This is amazing. And you literally can see about a foot of empty space below the monk. And the monk does not seem like a charlatan. The monk does not seem like an actor. The monk seems authentic. So look at those videos and make up your mind for yourself as to whether you believe they're authentic or whether they're fake, and see what you think. But there are these well-known figures from history, like St. Joseph of Copertino, who have had documented flights in the course of their lives, seen by large numbers of people, and witnessed by many bystanders. We'll take a break now. We'll come back after a short, brief break. My name is Dawson Church. You're listening to High Energy Health. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
Hello and welcome. Thanks for coming back and joining me at High Energy Health. I really appreciate your loving yourself enough to listen, to participate, and to fill your mind with positive media. You know, in the middle of all of the weirdness of the year, of the events, of the upsets we face, it's so important to listen to shows like this and to fill your mind, fill your life with positive media. There's so much negative media out there. I know my wife and I have been sucked into watching some TV shows that are full of sometimes violence, full of fear, people getting hurt and so on. And we notice when we watch a show like that, we go to bed and we have bad dreams, we don't have very good sleep, we wake up in the middle of the night, sometimes replaying some of the violent scenes in our minds. It's not a good experience, it affects our whole day negatively. But when we watch positive media, when we listen to uplifting sources of information like HealthyLife.net, our whole day and our whole night is better. We've been practicing now buying online courses. We've bought, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 so far in the last few months. And we go through and take those at night. And it's wonderful to watch inspired people and get inspired ideas from these sources, because then you're filling your mind, you're filling your consciousness with positive media. And so you doing that, you being here, you choosing to listen to HealthyLife.net, rather than listening to all kinds of disturbing information sources, is part of your commitment to caring for and loving yourself. You're taking care of your own consciousness, and only you get to decide what is in your consciousness. Nobody else can pick that for you or choose for you. You decide. And when you make that choice to fill your mind with positive media, that is the ultimate act of kindness to you, because then you're shaping those parts of your awareness and shaping those parts of your brain around those media. So just think about your night. You watch a negative movie or a violent movie, and then as your brain replays that information at night as you sleep, all of those neural bundles in your brain are firing, and when they start firing, after about 12 seconds, I show in my book Loose Brain, how in just 12 seconds, you start the process of building new circuits in your brain. If those are the circuits of anger, the circuits of stress, the circuits of disturbance, of negative emotion, you're literally spending the 8 hours of sleep building and expanding those circuits. And then they get bigger, they become more sensitive, and they become more stressed. That is a vicious circle, vicious cycle, and you don't want to be doing that with your life, with your mind. It's your consciousness, and your consciousness is literally building circuits in your brain, either building stress circuits or building the circuits of kindness, generosity, peace, joy, love, gratitude, compassion, and all those other positive emotions. And then you do that, and guess what circuits now get bigger? Your resilience circuit, your enlightenment circuit. In my book, This Brain, I have a whole chapter on the enlightenment circuit, and it's composed of 4 key networks. One is the attention network. And so you have a good attention network. You learn to be an expert at paying close attention. That way, when your child talks to you, you have attention. When you meditate, you have attention. When you do your work, you have attention. When you're doing your favorite hobby, you have attention. All of these things are ways of generating attention. for your preferred activities. You want to bring yourself and your attention to the things in front of you. And you do that by choosing to activate those neural networks. So I really want that for you. I want you to have that ability to pay attention and fill your mind with positivity, creativity, and joy, and build those circuits big and strong and resilient and creative in your own brain. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful brain to live in? I know when I talk to people who are obsessed with the news and are living in fear, their brains don't sound to me like a very fun place to live. But I can tell you, if you practice the techniques on the show and on the station, you build a brain that is a wonderful place to go and live in each day. And that's why that book is called Bliss Brain. If you'd like a free copy, you can get one now at blissbrain.com. You'll find that for a limited time, you can get a copy of Bliss Brain at that website, blissbrain.com. You pay shipping and handling only. And you can learn about all of these techniques, about how to fill your mind with those positive thoughts and generate that neural plasticity in your own brain. I also want to share with you that parts of my books also deal with these amazing phenomena of showing how consciousness is literally shifting reality inside and outside your body. So you don't just have a better, more peaceful subjective experience, you also start to have a more peaceful objective experience, more positive and peaceful world all around you in your external experience. And that story I mentioned earlier on the show about St. Joseph of Cupertino is just one of a number of stories of people who could literally change things in the outside world. St. Joseph could defy gravity, and gravity is one of the four fundamental forces of physics. It's not the only one. There are also accounts that St. Teresa of Avila, she was able to levitate. There are also those videos of levitating monks in Tibet nowadays that also seem to have the same ability. And those four fundamental forces of physics, which are gravity, electromagnetism, the strong nuclear force that holds atoms together, and the weak nuclear force, radioactivity, there is scientific evidence that those forces can be affected by human consciousness and human intention. In one study, a close friend of mine, Dr. Bill Bankson, who's been studied a lot for his healing powers, he was asked to send healing energy to groups of mice remotely. And the way this experiment was set up, it was blind and randomized. So there was one cage of mice that was in a lab at a university distant from Bill. And then in a different building in the university, there was a second cage of mice, and those were the control mice. And Bill was sending healing energy only to the experimental mice in a room that was painted blue, and not to the control mice, who were in a room that was painted green. So only the blue room mice got Bill's healing energy, and at random intervals as well. So at random intervals, Bill's cell phone would beep, and he would then spend about 20 minutes sending that healing energy only to the mice in the blue room. And the researchers had put recording devices below the cages, two cages of mice, that recorded the electromagnetic radiation level in each room. Now, this is fairly stable. It also doesn't fluctuate very much from location to location. So those two measuring devices should have been measuring the same amount of electromagnetism as each other. And they did, 24 hours a day, except those random moments when for 20 minutes Bill was sending healing energy to the mice in the blue room. And for that period, only the recording device below the mice in the blue room changed, not the recording device in below the cage of mice in the green room, the control group. So here Bill was affecting electromagnetism at a distance, at random intervals, under highly controlled conditions. That is the power of the human mind to affect even something seemingly stable and beyond our control as electromagnetism. In another study, in my book, Mind to Matter, I tell the rather humorous story of a lab at MIT where the graduate students have to learn to precipitate sodium crystals out of a super saturated solution. And that is one of the difficult experiments they have to learn to complete, and many of them try for many attempts before they're able to do that, and they are successful. So the lab manager, who I call Sally, was expecting a new graduate student into the lab to help them out, and so she knew that this young man was arriving, and she wasn't there when he got there, but later on that day, she met him, and she described this experiment. He said, oh, yeah, I know you guys do that experiment here in the lab, so I got here and you weren't here, so I did it, and he showed her his sodium crystals, and she was like, you did that on the first try? And he said, sure, I knew you had to do it here, and I just, you know, I knew it was part of the routine. So he hadn't got the memo about how hard it was. And not knowing how hard it was, he did it effortlessly on his first try. That is the power, again, that we sometimes are able to have over the world around us. I'll share with you other examples of our mind's amazing ability to affect material reality after a short break. Please stay tuned. You're listening to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. We'll be right back after a break.
Lighting the way with positive energy and love. HRNradio.com.
Hello and welcome back. My name is Dawson Church. You're listening to High Energy Health. And I am so delighted to each week share with you the frontiers of health, healing, and happiness. I can tell you there's a lot to be happy about in research. A recent study looked at the burnout and stress levels of a group of Italian school teachers. And Italy, as you may know, was really hard hit by the coronavirus. And it looked at their well-being after they had done an 8-week meditation class. Now, the study was scheduled to begin in February. In fact, it began February the 11th. But shortly thereafter, there was that huge outbreak of coronavirus in Italy. And so many of these teachers were affected by that, and they were really stressed, obviously stressed out by all the death and devastation around them. And so what the researchers did is rather than stop the study, they said, we're going to make this a study of people under stress and what happens to their wellness levels. And it did just that. They switched the focus of the study, and they'd already done 2 of the 8 scheduled weeks of the meditation class. They then did the remaining 6 weeks by Zoom. And to those Italian school teachers, that class was a lifesaver. It dramatically changed their levels of anxiety and depression and burnout, which all went down. So at the very time when people around them were more stressed, when the pandemic was raging in Italy, these school teachers in that clinical trial, their mental health actually improved and went up. That's the power of the kinds of practices we talk about on High Energy Health. They aren't just producing minor benefits to you. They're giving you the resilience. They're giving you the inner strength. They're giving you the resources to really improve your well-being, both mentally and physically. So I strongly recommend you use these practices. In my books, I have about 30 of them I recommend. Just play around with each of the 30. For some people, it's going to be Tai Chi. For some people, it'll be yoga. Other people might find that breath work works for them, or watching your thoughts works for them. There are a lot of different styles you can use to affect your well-being. The only mistake you can make is doing nothing. So it's well worth exploring all of these avenues for your own well-being. You can also pick up a copy of my new book for free right now, Bliss Brain, at blissbrain.com. Go to blissbrain.com for a copy of my new book, Bliss Brain, which has all of those options for well-being I mentioned earlier. Now, what's so cool is that when you're in these elevated emotional and mental states, you aren't just affecting your own personal well-being. You are literally changing your body and the world around you. We talked about St. Joseph of Cupertino, who along with St. Teresa of Avila and other great figures were able to literally levitate. They could defy gravity. We talked about Bill Bankston, who was able to affect the electromagnetism of those mice in those cages in a very tightly controlled, randomized controlled trial. And so we know from evidence like that that the four fundamental forces of physics, which are gravity, electromagnetism, the strong nuclear force keeping atoms together, and the weak nuclear force, radioactivity, radioactive decay, all four of those four fundamental forces of physics can be influenced, can be affected by human consciousness. Not just any human consciousness, but a trained human consciousness and somebody in one of those elevated mental and emotional states. And why not put yourself in that state first thing in the day by meditating? That's why I wake up in the morning. I meditate first before I do anything else. One of the other studies I talk about is there's been a lot of research into this particular Chinese qi master called Dr. Zen. And Dr. Zen, as well as helping people heal, also has been tested extensively for his ability to change molecules and radiation around him. And so in a series of tests, they had Dr. Zen send qi life energy, qigong masters are trained to use, into a lump of a radioactive substance called americium in front of him. And normally, radioactive substances have a very, very stable rate of radioactive decay. In fact, they're called by certain names based on how many years it will take that radioactive bundle of molecules to have a half-life and then just give all this radioactivity and become lead. And so for some, it's millions of years. For some, it's hundreds of years. And they can measure that rate of radioactive decay. It's very, very stable. It's so stable that they use these substances to build atomic clocks. Science needs extremely accurate timekeeping. And so atomic clocks are built of various substances with a known rate of decay, and that's how scientists measure time. Like there's a cesium clock I talk about in one of my books, and that cesium clock is accurate to 1 second per 3 million years. That's a very, very stable rate of decay. And so we know that there are these radioactive substances, but they have known rates of decay. Those rates are absolutely stable, except when Dr. Zen is around. And so as the researchers worked with his abilities, they had him focus on increasing that rate of radioactive decay. And in fact, that's exactly what happened in those samples of americium. The rate of radioactive decay speeded up by over 10% when Dr. Zen had the intention of having that happen. They then asked him, well, you can speed this up. Can you slow it down? And he then proceeded to do the same thing. He slowed down the rate of radioactive decay. Other healers also have been shown to have the ability to affect that kind of molecular process. So it's really remarkable that human intention, at least by a few highly coherent minds, is able to literally affect that weak nuclear force, literally able to affect the rate of radioactive decay. And of course, then there's the famous observer experiment. All the observer effects of the emission of electrons and photons that when observed, when human beings watch them, they behave differently from when they're left to their own devices. Famous observer effect has now been demonstrated literally hundreds of times over the course of almost 200 years in science. So we know that in subtle ways, our minds are literally the masters of the material reality around us. That mastery, you want to be using that ability, you want to be using that superpower constantly. Use it to fill your consciousness with kindness, with wisdom, with gratitude, with positive emotion, because that is not only the key to joy internally, it's the key to having positive effects around you externally as well. My name is Dawson Church. You're listening to High Energy Health. My newest book is called Bliss Brain. You can get a free copy at blissbrain.com. And if you've read the book already, please leave me a 5-star review. I would love to get a review for you if you have read the book and enjoyed the book or been inspired by it. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back after a break.
Environmentally sound for your mind. HRNradio.com.
Hello and welcome back to High Energy Health. I am your High Energy host, and I'm delighted you're here. I'm delighted you're bathing your consciousness in positive media, positive ideas, positive thinking, because that creates a positive brain. A positive mind literally builds a positive brain. And you, by showing up here, you're declaring your intention to have not just a positive mind, but a positive brain. In my new book, This Brain, I show that as we hold a thought, hold an intention, we can literally create new neural circuits quickly. A positive intention, a positive thought held with strong emotion in just 12 seconds can trigger the wiring together of synapses that were apart before. I have an amazing little movie from a scanning electron microscope of two neurons in one section of the book, and you see them initially, and they're far apart. They're like arms, and one's at the top right-hand corner of the screen, the other's at the top left-hand corner of the screen. And then, as they fire together, you see those arms gradually moving together and eventually like fingers clasping and shaking hands, the two neurons connect. And that process, that movie is 12 seconds long. In other words, before that began, those two neurons were disconnected. After 12 seconds of firing together, they connected and they wired together. And so if you are connecting, if you are firing the neurons of love, of kindness, of altruism, generosity, optimism in your brain, they are connecting, and those circuits are becoming stronger. And then other circuits are becoming weaker. If you quit using those circuits of anger and blame and resentment, within 3 weeks, according to the work of Nobel Prize-winning Dr. Eric Kandel, those unused circuits begin to disintegrate. So use those circuits, all those positive emotions, and create more of those in your life. Your body will love you, your mind will love you, and your whole life will be better. In my book, This Brain, I share with you the keys to that kind of positive neural rewiring. And part of it is sustaining the experience. So when you've seen something better, when you have a positive elevated emotion, when you are witnessing a beautiful scene, when you do that, spend that 12 seconds and really focus. Pay attention. That's a part of the brain called the orbitofrontal cortex. And when I talk about the enlightenment circuit and the power of paying attention in my book, This Brain, I show how you light up that orbitofrontal cortex. It's part of the enlightenment circuit. These parts of the brain are highly active in enlightened masters like Tibetan monks who spend 10 or 20,000 hours in meditation, or Franciscan nuns who spend 20,000 hours contemplating Mother Mary, contemplating the saints, and really immersing themselves in these positive emotional states. You want to be one of those people, and you can get there really quickly. It doesn't take 10,000 hours. In fact, in some of the research in this brain, I showed it takes as little as 4 weeks for measurable anatomical changes to occur in your brain. That's right. In my book, Boost Brain, I show you that within 4 weeks of practicing the very specific meditation practices you'll find at blissbrain.com, you literally trigger enough neuroplasticity to change the anatomy of your brain. Now think about that for a moment. If I told you you could improve the anatomy of your arms, you could get stronger biceps and triceps and deltoids, you'd be like, okay, 4 weeks and have a stronger body, more muscle mass. That would sound great. Well, the exact same thing is going on in your brain. You trigger those positive mental and emotional states over and over and over and over and over again. Those neurons are firing together. They start wiring together. And in the MRI studies I talk about at thisbrain.com, we literally see neurogenesis in 4 weeks. Structural anatomical change happening in the brain at 4 weeks. And the parts of the brain in which this happens is really interesting. The suffering parts of the brain, the self-absorbed, whining, chattering, self-critical parts of the brain start to shut down. And the parts of the brain that have to do with happiness and altruism and optimism and kindness and integration and creativity all light up. And it happens in that particular study, that 1 month study, in just 22 minutes a day. That's all people did. And you can get that very same meditation that we had people use in that clinical trial showing that you can change brain anatomy in a month. Get that same meditation at blissbrain.com. Use it for a month. You'll literally start to change the anatomy of your brain. And you won't necessarily know it from the outside. You can't tell there's been a change in your brain. But you will see it in your life. You'll see your relationships start to become more emotionally intelligent. You'll see a lot of your addictions and cravings start to disappear. You will see your work life become more creative. In fact, in one of the studies that I talk about in this brain by a large consulting company called McKinsey Corporation, they looked at high-performing executives over the course of 10 years, and they found that in the flow state you generate in that meditative state, in those flow states, your productivity, your ability to get stuff done, goes up by 500%. You are five times as creative when you are in that flow state. Five times as creative. In 1 day, you're accomplishing what used to take you 5 days to accomplish. If that isn't exciting, I don't know what is. Work on Monday, go take Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday off. It doesn't work quite like that, but it actually does mean that you notice a rapid uptick, not just in your ability to do things, but also in your ability to solve complex problems. In a different study, I also talk about in this brain, research showed that people's ability to solve complicated life problems went up by 490%. So now you're able to take the complicated issues in your love life and your financial life and how to invest and what sort of retirement to have and how to envision and what to do with your children and what to do in difficult situations. And you are able to dramatically shift those parameters and your own resources in those tough parts of your life. Imagine having a 490% improvement in your ability to solve complex problems. At blissbrain.com, you'll learn exactly how to do that. So now you aren't just a better meditator and a more peaceful person, you're also much more effective daily life at work. So I want that kind of life for you, and listening to a show like this is a great way to start, because you're not filling your whole mind with positive ideas. For more on all of the above, get a copy of my book, Bliss Brain, at blissbrain.com. And till next week, be happy, be healthy, love yourself, and I'll see you then.